First Peter chapter 2 this morning. We have Donna out with a fever and Emily's out with the baby, so I appreciate Pam coming in this morning. And I'm encouraged after the recital the other night, the number of young people that are taking piano lessons. You can't have too many piano players in the church. So, jump in. Disappointed in the number of boys taking music lessons. I really wish there was more fellas taking music lessons. Both of our boys know how to play a musical instrument. I think it's good for them. I think it's more than just blowing a horn. It's the character of just taking those lessons. And it drives you nuts. Listen, I heard it's time for Woody Willow so many times. I thought about Jackie Smith the other night. I thought, Jackie's house, Bailey taking trumpet lessons, you know. And I bet Jackie gets tired of that. But, boy, there is something to just the grit of doing it and doing it and doing it. And that's why most people quit. They lack the grit to do it. So, I was excited by that. I forgot to announce graduation. I got talking about the awards banquet. Graduation's on Friday night. We have 4 young people graduating from the academy this year, and there are a couple of homeschool graduates that we'll celebrate with them next on the day after Saturday. Let's recognize them all if they're in here. Are they all in here right now? Matt, Allen, where are you sitting? Stand up, Matt, Allen, where are you? And Leah, and then Brianna Howard is down, of course, at her dad's church in Kentland, Indiana. Remain standing, Marianne Montgomery and Elizabeth McDonald. She's out in the other building, okay? You don't know where she is. Maybe she went home, Rich. I don't know. She's here somewhere. Okay. So congratulations to these high school graduates. Thank you. That'll be this Saturday, this Friday night at 7 o'clock. It's open to everybody. Hope you'll come. Have a good time. Let's stand together, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. That's where I've got you, right? 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's read verses 1 through 3, shall we? If you'll please join me on verse number 2. Our Bible says this: "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Dear Father, thank you so much this morning for all that we've enjoyed, just the fun of being here in this service. And Lord, the camaraderie with the people, it's our spiritual home away from our home with our family. We enjoy it, love it. Thank you for the privilege to have church today. Now speak to our hearts with your Bible, please. And we'll thank you ahead of time in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
When men sinned in the garden, that sin Jehovah could not. And
To you this morning out of verse number 2 will be the theme of the message, but we will have to deal with verse 1 as well, where the Bible says in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I am so excited this morning. I am so excited. I look out and I see a lot of folks who are new to our church, newly saved, are visiting, and some are in discipleship programs, and it's exciting to me to see people get saved, and then more than get saved, start to grow as a child of God. And I want to talk this morning about a baby's approach to milk. A baby's approach to milk, because the Bible says, as newborn babes, like a newborn baby would desire milk, then you and I need to desire the sincere milk of the Word, okay? So a baby's approach to milk. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, your Son that cleanseth us from all sin. If there's somebody in our service this morning who's never been under the fountain of the blood of Jesus Christ, trusting Him as their Savior, I pray that this day might be the day of their salvation. And Lord, thank you so much that He died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then thank you for your book, and all the nutritional value for our spiritual life that it is. Help me this morning. Lord, I want to be a blessing and an encouragement and help to everybody. In Jesus' name I ask it, and amen. 4 Fridays ago, on the 24th of April, the phone in our house rang at 5:15 a.m. And it was my son-in-law, and he said, "We're at the hospital, just wanted you to know." And, of course, we were excited about that. And we were anxiously awaiting the next call. My wife had to get the grocery shopping done because she knew that she'd be going to Elgin to stay with Hannah once the baby came. And I had to mow grass. And so, because all my boys are gone, and so I get to mow grass. So about 5 hours later. Yeah, 5 hours later, my cell phone rang. I had it in my pocket. And I answered it, of course, and it was Jason. He said, "Well, it's all over." What a way to tell you got a grandson, huh? Son-in-law, I'm telling you. It's all over. I don't know what had happened, you know. But we found out the little guy had arrived. Little Kyle was here. And so we made arrangements to get ready to go and went up to St. Charles, the hospital, and walked in the room there. And there's that little guy, 5 hours old, 5 hours old. And I held him. Now, you know what the nice thing about Caleb and Emily's baby coming on Friday was that Emily's dad and mom are at Amboy this weekend, Amboy, Illinois. She spoke at a mother-daughter banquet last night, and Brother Ross is preaching at church there today. So they were coming to Bourbonnais on Friday to see Caleb and Emily. And they got up, they started out from Texas Thursday night, and they were going to go a ways and stop and spend the night, but they, let's just keep going. And they rolled into town and came right to Riverside Hospital and got to be there for the birth of little Joshua Caleb. And so when David was born, Brother Ross and I are close friends, and I called him. Now, this is mean, I know, but, you know, you got to be mean once in a while. So you got to just, you know, you got to know who you can be mean to. That's what you got to do. So I called him and I said, "Brother Ross, I said, I am holding your grandson before you do." You know, longer. And I began to talk about him. I said, man, he's a good-looking guy. This is 2 years ago when David was born. And so I'm on the way to Elgin for graduation Friday afternoon. My cell phone rings and it's Bob Ross. You're not going to hold this one before I do. And so he said, I said, what are you talking about? I didn't know they were at the hospital. I said, what are you talking about? He said, she had the baby and I'm here holding him. So he was, so I held that little five, he didn't hear me. He's 5 hours old, Kyle is. Okay, I got him in my arms. He's 5 hours old and he's been asleep, but he's stirring around, and pretty soon, squirming in my arms, his little mouth opens and the little head turns, and it just amazed me. What's he doing? He's looking to eat. He's hungry. He's looking for the milk. That's what he wants. This 5 hour old little boy, 5 hours, was looking for some milk. Now, no nurse or doctor had to teach him that. He didn't have to watch some instructional DVD in the hospital to figure out that he needed. He instinctively began desiring milk, right? So did all yours. So our Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. 5 hours old, turning his head, mouth open, 5 hours. By the way, that wasn't his first feeding. Already been fed. 5 hours. So God says, as newborn babes, like a baby, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, this chapter is a continuation of chapter 1. And we're not going to go through chapter 1, but let me summarize it for you, at least toward the end of the chapter. Peter exhorts in chapter 1 at the end and challenges saved people to become obedient children of God. He even says in verse number 14, as obedient children at salvation, we become a child of God. You say, I thought everybody was born a child of God. That's an erroneous teaching, friend. You're not born a child of God. You're born a child of man. You are born again to become a child of God. Okay? So you're not born naturally a child of God. But you are at salvation. Every parent desires for their children to be obedient. And obedience does not come naturally. Disobedience comes naturally. Obedience has to be taught. And it must be taught and taught and taught and taught and taught and taught and taught. Now, don't miss this because this is key. Learning to be an obedient child of God happens in our life the same way we became a child of God to begin with. How did you become a child of God? You heard the Word of God. You heard that the Word of God shows us that we are sinners and we are in a hopeless condition before God and we're guilty of sin and we deserve the penalty of sin, which is eternal separation from God forever in the place that the Bible calls hell. You say, well, I don't like that and I don't think that's just and I don't think that's fair. All your and my opinions about it, friend, won't change that fact. Okay? Now, you'd be foolish to go to hell mad at God when God has provided a way out, just because you've got an opinion. Learn what the Bible says. Everybody's born into this world a guilty, hopeless sinner deserving the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, separation from God forever. But then the same Bible teaches us that Jesus died on the cross, as Dan sang, shed His precious blood, paid our sin debt, was buried. 3 days and three nights later, He came out of that grave to prove He was the Son of God. And that is what His death, His burial, and His resurrection is what you and I need to become born-again children of God. You come to Jesus Christ and you trust in His death, burial, and His resurrection. You trust in what He did and you receive Him as your Savior and you become a child of God. Now, you became a child of God after hearing this book. You grow as a child of God. You become an obedient child of God in the same manner. You become an obedient child of God by hearing this book. This book will teach you how to be born into God's family. This book will teach you how to become an obedient child once you get into God's family. It all surrounds this book, right? That's why we encourage people, when you come to church, bring a Bible with you. We don't want you just to know what... Look, I'm sick of people looking to churches to find out what they believe. I'm sick of pastors looking to certain places in our ranks to find out what they're supposed to believe. This book teaches us what we're supposed to believe. Okay? We're supposed to believe this book. This book. That it is the inspired, preserved, inerrant Word of God. This book. I will address that issue Sunday night, May 31st. In case you're wondering. This book is the Word of God. Okay? And this is what will make us an obedient child of God. Now, he says, by the way, it won't happen. Look, hey folks, you say, well, I got saved, Brother Angel. Won't that become, I just automatically become an obedient child? Well, let me ask you a question. When you birthed those children into the world, did they just automatically become obedient? I don't think so. None of the six at my house did. Maybe you had the angels and I had the devils. Maybe that's how it works. I don't know, but they didn't automatically become obedient children. They had to be taught and taught and taught. And it's not going to happen automatically. You and I are not going to become obedient children of God once we're saved without this book. Now, he says in verse number 1 of chapter 2, look at it. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Stop right there. Now, we're talking about how to become an obedient child of God. And he says, part of becoming an obedient child of God, wherefore, you've got to lay aside, in light of becoming an obedient child of God, you've got to lay aside malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. These are all sins of our spirit towards others. Now, don't lose me here. Hang with me because I'm going to make a point. I believe it could be life-changing and helpful for many people in this room. Those are all sins of our spirit that have to do with our relationship with others. Malice, guile, that's deceitfulness. Hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. I've got to lay those aside. If I'm going to become an obedient child of God, I've got to lay aside these. I've got to put these on the back burner. All the issues which I think are so important, but will actually keep me from growing. You get saved, especially as a teenager or an adult. There's almost always complications in life, folks. Present tense, when you get saved. Now listen to me. If you think that when you get saved, God's going to snap His fingers and all those complications are going to be taken care of the day you get saved, you misunderstand salvation. There's still complications. My boss at work doesn't treat me right. I don't like my neighbor. He doesn't like me. I want a divorce from my spouse. I'm at odds with my dad. My mom won't speak to me. I have a grudge against my brother or my sister. None of our family even talks. My in-laws despise me. On and on and on and on. That's the tip of the iceberg. And we think, oh boy, I'm saved, and now I'm a child of God, and I'm on my way to heaven, and all of these relationship difficulties and all these problems are all going to be, all these complications, they're all going to be taken care of because, man, now I am a child of God. Those things are not going to change immediately. And hear me, those things, if they are not put aside, will interfere with your growth. Let me ask you a question. He says, as newborn babes. What concern does a newborn baby have? Does he have any? One. Eat. Who is he mad at? Who has he got a grudge against? Who is he bitter at? Who is he wanting to get revenge at? Who is he seeking to get back at? What's a newborn? A newborn baby has one thing on his mind. Where is the milk? Get me to the milk. You see, these sins of the Spirit, literally, you know what they are, folks? Listen to me. They are like a cancer that eats away at the nutritional value of the Word of God. Have you ever known anybody who ate and ate and ate and ate and ate, had an insatiable appetite, and yet at the same time kept dropping weight, dropping weight, dropping weight, dropping weight, dropping weight? You say, man, you eat like a horse and you're losing weight. You better go where? The doctor. And they go to the doctor and they find out that there's something going on in their body that is literally destroying all the nutritional value that the food is bringing to their body. They're eating like a horse. They're eating with a voracious appetite. And they're eating good food. And they keep dropping 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 5 pounds. It's time to go to the doctor because there's something going on inside that's absolutely destroying the nutritional value of the food. You know, the same thing can happen spiritually. I met with a couple in a distant city recently, not too long ago, trying to help them. And in the course of the conversation, husband and wife together, and then the wife asked if the husband could step out for a few minutes, and he stepped out for a few minutes, and we began to talk about some things, and it was obvious to me that this woman, and it was bitter and ugly, and she's got this deep-seated, just ugliness. And she brought up an incident that happened in life 25 years ago, not with her husband, not a moral incident. She felt somebody had mistreated her 25 years ago. Now, I won't tell you what happens in the family. I won't tell you. I won't go into detail this morning, but it's awful. How she treats her husband, how she treats her children. And her bitterness, her ugliness, not even directed, is not even at her husband or kids. It's at somebody else. This is 25 years ago. And you know what her husband told me? She reads the Bible all day. He said, "Brother, I don't understand this. She reads the Bible all day, every day. I catch Bible, Bible, Bible." Let me ask you a question. If you read the Bible that much, you think it might do you some good? Why is it not doing her any good? There's a cancer inside. You listening? There's a cancer in there. Not physically, spiritually. I don't care how much Bible, how much nutritional, spiritual food she pumps in her mind and heart, that cancer of bitterness and ugliness is going to eat away at the nutritional value of the Word of God. And she's not going to grow as a child of God and going to stay in this ugly, bitter condition, even though she's taking the time to read and read and read and read and read. Look, again, as a newborn baby, you can't hang on to stuff, folks, that happened 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. You can't let those relationship problems interfere with your growth as a child of God. You can't solve the issue with dad right maybe immediately. You can't work out the marriage difficulties immediately. You can't change the situation at work immediately. But if you put those things on the back burner, lay them aside and dive into this book and get the Word of God and desire it like a baby would desire milk, you'll begin to grow as a Christian and you'll have the opportunity to deal with some of those problems down the road. Does that make sense to y'all? What are you saying here? He's saying you've got to lay some of this. Look, you don't get saved and then expect God to wave a magic wand over your life. And all these relationship problems but you've got to come to the place where you say, "Lord, those are on the back burner. Those are not primary. That's secondary. The important thing for the baby is milk. Get to the milk. Get the milk. Get the milk. That's what's important for the baby as a newborn baby." Now, by the way, This is not just written to young Christians either. This is written to all age Christians. So I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years. When our heart gets full of bitterness and guile and anger and malice toward people, the nutritional value of this book is not going to do what it should do and could do as long as we're hanging on to all these relationship things. Folks, let them go. And I get asked all the time, well, how do you do that? How do I let go of this knife? I let go of it. I still got it. I gotta drop it. Let go. Don't pick it up. Put it on the back burner. Make it secondary. Whatever is boiling in your heart in the way of bitterness or anger or malice or grudge holding or revenge and folks, that's a critical, critical thing. Look, there's a reason why verse 1 comes before verse 2. That kind of stuff has got to be put aside or you're not going to enjoy the nutritional value of that book right there. Y'all listening this morning? Huh? Yeah. Some of you are stuck. I'm not talking just to new Christians right now, but you're stuck. You're stuck. Like a tractor that Mike Lacy was telling me about down in Watseka, up to its hubs and stuck. And you get no nutritional value out of the preaching of God's Word. You get no nutritional value out of the Word of God itself. None. Because inside you're all worked up and bent out of shape because something hadn't planned out or worked out or somebody did this and somebody said this some years ago and God has designed a nutritional program here for you that'll cause you to grow and become an obedient child of God. But friend, if you've got a cancer inside of you, it's going to eat away all that nutritional value. So let me say three things in a hurry here because it's already about time to wind down. Number one, as a newborn baby. Number one, the baby attempts to get to the milk. Right? That little boy's head turned. His head turned. Mouth opens. Where is the milk? Let me get to the milk. Now, new Christians and old Christians alike, get to the milk. Get to the milk. It's right here. This book right here is the milk, the meat, the honey, the butter of God's Word. Okay? This is it. So get to the milk. You need to have a daily Bible reading time. I'm trying to help a couple right now that is newly saved. And boy, it's just such a blessing. Oh, man. And just sat down with them. I said, look, here's a couple things. When you eat, bow your heads as a family sitting around the table and thank God for the food. And pray. They've never done that before. Now they're saved. Saved people are thankful for their food. And I gave them a little Baptist bread or a book like it. And I said, every day, I want y'all to read this page together, husband and wife. Read a few Bible verses that are listed here every day. They were at church last Sunday night. I was shaking hands for the service. Saw them back there giggling and laughing and cutting up with each other. I'm going to tell you, folks, this is where the milk is, right here. Get a time to read the Bible personally, individually, and listen. God designs the mother to be able to produce the milk that baby needs. And as a church here, we are trying to design a program to provide you the opportunities for milk. Get in Sunday school. Get in one of those classes this summer. Get in Sunday morning church. Get in Sunday night church. Get in the Bible studies. Get in discipleship class. If you're new to the church, new to Christ, if you got saved a long time ago and you haven't grown, come at 5:20 to his class. I'll promise you it will help you. Get to the milk. Now listen to me. This business of becoming an obedient child of God, your priorities have to change. Listen, before you get saved, church is a Christmas and Easter and maybe one other special day occasion. But once you get saved, your priorities have got to change. And you've got to decide, my life has got, if I want my life to change, if I want my marriage to be better, if I want this to work out, if I want to grow as a child of God and become that obedient child, something has to change. My priorities on Sunday morning, I know sometimes work schedules interfere and you can't just quit your job. But every time you can get to the church house with your Bible, come. And by the way, all of us who've been saved for some time need to be incredibly good examples to new Christians. Incredibly good examples. Your priorities have to change. You say, well, Brother Angel, can I grow as an obedient child and just keep, you know, running over here and running over here and doing this and doing this on Sunday and doing this on Sunday and doing this on Sunday? No, you're not going to become an obedient child of God if some things don't change, some priorities. Get to the milk. Amen. Number two, the baby's appetite is satisfied only temporarily. Right? So you feed the baby in the morning and that's it for the rest of the day, right? Maybe eats and eats later and eats, and then they become teenagers and they just eat around the clock. Why? Because food only temporarily satisfies. You settle in for the long haul when it comes to getting the Word of God. And by the way, those of you that are new to us, I'm in no shape or form, no way, shape or form, mad at you, mad at anybody this morning. I feel so intensely, I feel so fervently, I feel so strongly about this. And do you know why? Because I know what took place in my life. It's one thing to talk about something, it's something altogether different to experience it. And this Jesus, I've said how many times, church, Jesus saved me, but this book changed my life. And you're looking at a guy whose life was a mess. Maybe it still is. I don't know. Not as messy as it was. My life was a mess. 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 Get to the milk. Settle in for the long haul. Let God feed you through His book. Put Sundays and Wednesdays and discipleship in the schedule and just say, you know what? It's feeding time. It's feeding time. The baby gets to the milk. The baby's appetite is satisfied temporarily. Number three, no milk means no growth. Look at verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, what? That. You see that? That ye may grow thereby. In other words, the growth you need depends on the milk you consume. Friend, I'm saying without blinking this morning, without apology, without backing up or stuttering, that our growth as children of God depends on our consumption of this book. You consume it, you will grow. You neglect it, you will not grow if you lay aside those old ugly, bitter feelings that are like a cancer. And on the way to the graduation, we went by the apartment where Alan and Abby will live and unloaded 2 vehicle loads of stuff. Got it out of the house and got it to their house. And then we still had a little time, so we drove over to Jason and Hannah's place And I got to, I called her, put it on the speakerphone so my wife could hear, and said, "Hannah, hi, Dad. Hey, how you doing? Good. I want you to know, in earshot of your mother, that I have dibs on holding Kyle first." And I got him first. I called it. You snooze, you lose. I'm horsing around. But I held her, I held him. And man, I can't believe that old guy. He's fleshing out. Huh? Unbelievable. 4 weeks old, I guess he is. Man, I was sitting there looking at him. Oh, boy, there's substance. I mean, this little guy's put. Well, sure, he's eating. He's growing. He's eating. He's growing. He's eating. I see a couple sitting back there, you know, last Sunday night. I see them growing just a little bit. They're eating. I see folks' lives changing. They're eating. When you quit eating, you quit growing. So as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, by the way, let me say this and I'm done. It is important for you to become a baby again. And I don't mean physically, but I mean spiritually. If you've never had the second birth, obviously, friend, the message this morning was geared to those who've been saved. But if you've never had the second birth, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the most important need you have is to get saved. I told you how earlier. You come to Jesus Christ. He did it for you. You trust Him as your Savior, plus nothing and minus nothing. And then you start growing to become an obedient child. Let me ask you a question this morning. How's your appetite? How's your appetite? A baby's approach to milk. That should be my approach to God's Word. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Please pay attention while I ask a few brief questions here this morning. Who would say, "Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd spend eternity in heaven. It's all settled because I came to Christ and I have been born again for a Bible reason." I could give you a Bible reason. Now, before I ask you to raise your hand, I just want to ask you to be honest. Would you please be honest this morning with God and with yourself? "Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved." Would you lift your hand, please? If that's the case this morning, just slip it up and put it right back down. Thank you. Is there anybody here this morning, either front to back, side to side, member or visitor, man, woman, boy, or girl, teenager? "Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I couldn't raise my hand just now because I don't know for sure that I'm saved. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand, please? Anybody like that in the audience this morning? Just slip it up. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. "I'm not saved. Nobody is looking. I'll just slip my hand up, Brother Angel. Say, I couldn't lift my hand up a moment ago, Pastor, but I'll lift it up now." Anybody like that today? Not sure that you're saved. All right? Anybody here would say, "Brother Angel, I've been saved but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. I've not taken that first step of obedience since I became a Christian, since I became a child of God. Pray for me." Would you raise your hand this morning? Slip it up, put it right back down. "I've not been baptized." See those hands? God bless you. Anybody else not been baptized yet? All right. Since you've been saved. Not baptized before you get saved, but since you've been saved. Anybody else? All right. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you came to be baptized this morning, or you'd like to know more about it, then you slip out and you come to the front in just a moment when they give the music, and we can show you what it means to be baptized and talk to you about it. It would be great to have you do that this morning. Now, how many folks here would say, "Brother Angel, I'm saved, baptized, and I would like to grow to be an obedient child of God. And the Word of God is what I need. And God spoke to my heart this morning." Maybe you've been saved for 5 weeks or 50 years, but the Word of God is what we need. It's the milk. And the Lord spoke to your heart this morning about a baby's approach to milk. Pray for me, Brother Angel. God said something to my heart this morning while you were preaching. Would you lift your hand? Yes, I see all those hands. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. They were up before I asked. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. I want to say again, if you're not sure that you're saved, I hope that you'll come and let somebody show you how to be saved. If you're not baptized, I hope that you'll come and let somebody talk to you about being baptized. If you raised your hand just now, want to be an obedient Christian, obedient child, and God spoke to your heart, I want you to come when the music begins. Now listen to me, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The invitation is a critical part of a service. Public invitations have long been the practice of Bible-preaching, Bible-believing churches. And it is important when God comes down my pew and speaks to my heart, it is important that I respond by at least visiting an altar, kneeling and saying, "Oh God, you spoke to me about this. Now please help me." It's not the end, it's the beginning. But to say it's not important is completely wrong. So I would say if you raised your hand this morning to be baptized, to grow and be an obedient child, and God spoke to your heart, spend a moment or two at the altar asking for God's help. Dear Father, thank you so much for the privilege to preach your book this morning. I pray that you'll please speak to our hearts. Evidently, you already have. And now, dear God, I pray that we'll talk back to you. God, help these to be baptized, or at least to come to learn more about it. Help many who raised a hand, Lord, to have an approach to your word like a baby has an approach to milk. Help us all to grow and keep growing into becoming that obedient child. We'll thank you for it. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name.